Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Hello, Americans, and welcome back to The Savage Truth. Cicely here, ecstatic as always to be with you. Welcome back, and thanks to those of you who are loyalists to the show. And for those of you who are new, welcome. I appreciate all listeners and viewers. I make the same request every single time, but you know what? Hey, I met two new friends today. Introduce yourself.
Hi, my name's Dylan.
Hi, my name's Truth.
So this is why we do the show, right? It's literally all about them. It's right now. It's also about the future. It's all about Dylan and Chase. Thank you so very much. My request is always the same. Whether you're a ride and die or you're brand new, please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And let's get into this week's haps. Okay. Thanks, Scott. Thank you, guys. That's awesome. So, it's the week of the nauseating DNC. Now, it's not nauseating because of it's the Democrat Party. After all, I realize that they exist and they are going to have supporters, okay? Everyone is not going to fall 100% into the party that I like. I am objective enough and smart enough to recognize that, right? There are Democrat supporters. These are Americans, after all, and there are Americans out there who wish for Democrat leaders in our government, in our leadership. Totally understand that. I understand, like I said, that 100% of Americans do not lean Republican conservative. It's nauseating because it will be a week of lies, a week of ducking and dodging the issues, a week of lying and manipulation to the American people. And we now know that they are definitely, without a doubt, going to crown Kamala Harris on Thursday, stealing the opportunity from delegates to have their say. We know that the Democrat elites, as led by Nancy Pelosi, pushed Joe Biden out because after they spent years and years of lying to the American people about his mental and cognitive decline, they were deathly afraid of the contest between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. They were deathly afraid of the Black community and the Hispanic community and Gen Z and further beyond, like with Dylan and Chase, to flock to the Republican ticket, to flock to the Trump-Vance ticket. We know that Kamala is a manipulative chameleon, right? She is whatever you need her to be, depending upon the audience in which she's speaking. When she was the DA and the AG in California, many of the times, depending on who she was speaking to, and certainly a lot in the past, she identified as Indian, right? She always identified as West Indian, always claimed and referred to her Indian heritage. Now that the Black vote is needed, she's Black. She's got the Obamas clinging to her. She's referring to her attendance at HBCUs, her pledging of a Black sorority, as if attending a Black college automatically makes you Black. Right? She puts Megan Thee Stallion on stage to pander. She's a phony chameleon who will appeal and lie to the crowd. You know, her boss, Joe Biden. Joe Biden did the same thing, right? Depending on who he was speaking to, he would then immerse himself into that culture and make claims, therefore lies, right? He drove an 18-wheeler truck. In 2008, he claimed he had marched with the civil rights movement, right? Back in the day. Claimed that he graduated top of his class. Of course, it was later revealed that he graduated 76th out of 85. Now, it was later found out that Joe was disciplined for plagiarism as well during his time there. Now, he initially downplayed those issues, but later admitted inaccuracies in his statements. Lion Joe claimed he graduated from college with 3 full degrees. Remember this? A full scholarship and was a top student. No surprise, that was a big lie. He graduated with 1 degree and did not have a full scholarship. He also misrepresented his academic record during his speeches. Also, Joe lied about being shot at in Iraq during his visit. There was absolutely no evidence of that. He claimed his late son, Beau Biden, was the Attorney General of Delaware, remember? And a war hero who served in Iraq. Now, while Beau did serve in Iraq, his service was a JAG officer, and he was not involved in combat. No wonder Kamala was able to be selected by Joe, okay? That's what the camaraderie was, lies and deceits. No wonder Kamala Harris would, of course, choose Tim Walz. Birds of a feather always flock together. So I need you to know that I am not at all suffering through the DNC this week. However, I am steadily focused, as you should be, on the task at hand to get Donald Trump and J.D. Vance in office to save what's left of our republic and get our country back on track, to put to sleep this ridiculous movement of wokeness, to get tampons out of boys' bathrooms, to arrest drag queens who show up in lewd attire trying to read to our kids, to completely outlaw gender surgeries for minors, and to actually prosecute and lock up criminals, to make crime actually illegal again. And while she's becoming, like this beam of light glowing like the moon, it's been 31 days. She has gone 31 days without holding a formal press conference or sit-down interview since becoming the presumptive and disastrous communist Democrat presidential nominee. While she has been busy on the campaign trail, spoken at various events, and have given informal remarks to reporters at various points since effectively replacing President Joe Biden on the ticket last month, she hasn't done one single formal press conference or wide-ranging interview in the nearly 4 weeks that she has been, quote-unquote, nominated. Now, former President Donald Trump, on the other hand, has held several press conferences since last Thursday. He's been in Bedminster, and since August 6th, he has answered 81 questions in pressured interviews, including a two-hour session with supporter Elon Musk last week. Now, in that same time period, Harris has done brief gaggles as well as off-the-record sessions with traveling reporters, but she still hasn't done anything formal with the press. She even turned down Time. She turned down Time magazine, which published a gushing piece about her moment this week for a cover story. And running mate Tim Walz shot down a formal interview request from the New York Times about this response to the George Floyd riots in Minnesota, right here in Minnesota. And I don't know if you folks actually saw the cover of that magazine, of Time magazine, where they have her in black and white. It's from the neck up. And she's looking off into the far distance, and it's this goddess-like picture of her. She actually turned them down for an interview. Because why? Because she doesn't want to answer any questions. She doesn't want to answer tough questions. She doesn't want to answer difficult questions. She doesn't want to answer elementary questions. She doesn't want to answer any questions at all. Again, her whole agenda is to try to disassociate herself with Bidenomics, to which she was a voter and a loud, overt supporter of Bidenomics, right? The left-leaning Washington Post editorial board challenged Harris over dodging the media on Sunday, saying of her opponent, at least he is taking questions. The Post said she would account for her numerous policy shifts, including on fracking, border security, and private health insurance. So now you see the Democrat Party, as led by Harris and Walz, as she tries so hard to distance herself from her buddy Joe Biden. They're flip-flopping on all the stances that they were so adamantly for in the previous years. They are apparently awaking from wokeism, apparently. Okay? This is a new move, with Joe Biden now pressuring Congress to fund the police. Yes, Joe Biden has pressured Congress to actually fund the police. And then he has that embarrassing send-off at the DNC on Monday night, as he gave that emotional, teary-eyed speech saying that he gave his all to the country. Yet the Democrat elites ensured that his speech was aired past prime time. What a slap in the face. Understand that this is what it's like on the Democrat Party. This is what they'll do to you once they have decided that you're no longer a part of the run, right? Once you're on the outs, you're just a piece of garbage, and they're kicking you to the curb with no turn back, right? They're not turning their head back. Listen, the time of Joe's speech being so late, it was intentional. It was given around I think it aired around 11 p.m., which is actually midnight on East Coast. Many are in bed. They miss the speech, having to wake up to hear about the speech the very next day. Now, when he was giving his speech, they actually flashed the crowd. You could see many of the people on the camera heading to the exits as he was speaking. How embarrassing for him. To me, it seemed like it was the speech he was going to give as a nominee, right? Like this was that pre-written speech that he was supposed to give had he not been kicked out, kicked to the curb by the Democrat elites with the Harris Walls overlay tacked onto it. That speech, in all likelihood, was the last great speech of his career with the greatest attention he will ever receive in one place ever again. Goodbye, Joe. Okay, they kicked him to the curb. They threw the deuces on him, as they would say in the hood, okay? You got your time, you're out, Joe. And the Dems made sure that it wasn't prime time. They made sure that he had his time, but it wasn't prime time. So we're moving on. Kamala Harris reminds us of her communist ways as she calls for the first ever federal ban on price gouging. First and foremost, okay, let's get this out of the way. She can't help but remind us on a regular basis who she is and how she will run this country. As soon as she opens her mouth, you get a glimpse of who Kamala Harris is and how she will rule, okay? She's given us so much from the past. She opens her mouth when she does actually speak, right? She tells us who she is and what kind of leader she will be. She has absolutely no understanding whatsoever of business. None. Nada. Then she, of course, leaves the definition of excessive pricing and excessive corporate profits, particularly for grocery, vague and undefined. Now, if I don't know if you all know this, but the grocery industry in particular, on average, they work with only a 1.4% profit margin. Okay? The narrowest of profit margins ever. And this is particularly who she's really mostly focused on. So this is what she relayed last Wednesday. This aloof presidential candidate said that the first 100 days of her presidency would include the first ever federal ban on price gouging on food and groceries, setting clear rules of the road to make clear that big corporations can't unfairly exploit consumers to run up excessive corporate profits on food and groceries. Now, what are these clear rules of the road or thresholds that determine when a price or profit level becomes too excessive? Okay, the memo doesn't say. And the campaign did not and will not clarify. It's hard. It is so very difficult. It's so hard to exaggerate how bad this policy actually is because it is, in all but name, a sweeping set of government-enforced price controls across every industry. Not only food, supply and demand would no longer determine prices or profit levels. Okay, understand that. Supply and demand would no longer determine prices or profit levels. It would be far off Washington bureaucrats determining prices. And the FTC would be able to tell, say, Kroger in Ohio, the acceptable price it can charge for milk. Okay, that's where we're headed. At best, this would lead to shortages. It will lead to black markets and hoarding, among other distractors, seeing previous times, countries,
and countries who have tried to limit price growth. At worst, it could accidentally raise prices. This is communism, folks. That's what this is. And Kamala Harris is letting us know of her intent to force communism into our free and liberated system if she is elected. So pay attention. Take that to the ballot box in November. Now, we still have some primaries to settle across the country as Republicans and Democrats head to the polls this coming Tuesday to choose their party's nominee in primaries races across Florida, Wyoming, and Alaska. Okay. Last Tuesday was Minnesota's. Okay. Ilhan Omar actually got in again. I'm not sure what the heck is going on with Minnesota's 5th Congressional District, but that's another show. Okay. The Republicans will keep a keen eye on the Florida primary races. We have Representative Matt Gaetz amid his feud with former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. That is still going on. And Senator Rick Scott, who hopes to lead the party in the Senate next Congress. Scott is expected to easily win his primary race on Tuesday against two candidates with little name recognition or financial backing. Okay, that just sounds like it's going to be a very, very easy race for him to win. He's pretty much a shoo-in. The Democrat Party, however, is a little bit more contentious with the race between former U.S. Representative Debbie Mukersell Powell, Navy veteran and businessman Stanley Campbell, Army veteran and businessman Rod Joseph, and Brian Rush, a former four-term Florida state representative. Now, Mukersell Powell, who was in 2018, became the first Ecuadorian-American and first South American-born woman elected to Congress, is the favorite among the Democrats. Now, she lost her former House seat after just one term. Now, Scott and May officially announced his bid for Republican leader in the next Senate after Minority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky announced he'd be stepping down. And I quote, "I've decided to run for Senate Republican leader because I believe now is a moment we need dramatic change." He wrote that in this letter to his fellow Republicans in the Senate. Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida is also gaining attention, largely because McCarthy's political committee has spent $3 million attacking him and backing his primary opponent, former Navy aviator Aaron Dimmick. Gaetz led a group of 8 Republicans to oust McCarthy from the speakership with the help of Democrat members last year, if you remember all that controversy. McCarthy's attacks on Gaetz stem from a House Ethics Committee investigation into alleged sexual misconduct and drug use. But the allegations aren't new, and Gaetz has a loyal following in his district, making an upset unlikely. Since winning office in 2016, Gaetz has easily won primaries with between 65 and 80% of the vote, okay? He's extremely popular where he's from. He has a lot of reporters, as reported also by the Associated Press. Meanwhile, in Alaska, both parties are fighting for control of Democrat Representative Mary Peltola's seat, which has been in Republican hands for decades until Representative Don Young died in 2022. Peltola has served since 2022 after winning the seat in a special election. Peltola will face Republican Lieutenant Governor Nancy Dahlstrom and Nick Berkich, who shares a name with his late grandfather, a Democrat congressman who was on a plane that disappeared in 1972, according again to the Associated Press. In Wyoming, Republican Representative Harriet Hageman, woohoo, I am a fan, faces a primary challenger from Stephen Helling, who has yet to report any fundraising to the FEC. Hageman, the freshman congresswoman, defeated Representative Liz Cheney in 2022. You all remember that, okay? Republican Senator John Barrasso, who has served Wyoming since 2007, faces businessman Reed Rasner, though Barrasco is expected to win handily. Now, listen to this. Have you heard this? This is all the rage. This is all the news right now. And it's continuing to change literally as I record. RFK is thinking about joining ranks with Donald Trump. Okay. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is considering abandoning his campaign as an insurgent independent presidential candidate in order to help the election of Donald Trump. His running mate basically said in an interview. So the startling disclosure was made by Nicole Shanahan, who is Kennedy's vice presidential candidate, who said the pair were considering dropping their campaign over fears it might help elect Kamala Harris, the Democratic nominee, as president. Shanahan's remarks made on the impact theory with Tim Bilyeu. Oh my gosh, I'm so bad with names. I'm just chopping and butchering everybody up. But that podcast, okay? We're close to an all-out admission that Kennedy's campaign had more in common with Trump than with Harris. Kennedy was a member of the Democratic Party and attempted to run as a its nominee before choosing to stand as an independent. And I quote, there's two options that we're looking at. And one is staying in, forming the new pair, but we run the risk of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz's presidency because we draw votes from Trump, said Stanahan, who a wealthy Silicon Valley attorney. She's apparently worth $1 billion as a result of her former marriage to Sergey Brin, the co-founder of Google. Or we walk away right now and join forces with Donald Trump, and we explain to our base why we're making that decision. Now, Shanahan said the conundrum was not an easy decision, but added that her sympathies lay more with Trump and his wealthy backers than with Harris's campaign, which has its own moneyed supporters. And I quote, if we're splitting hairs, I would say that I trust the future of the country more under the leadership of Trump and the Peter Thies, the founder of PayPal and a leading Trump backer, and the J.D. Vance, the Republican vice president, of course, than I do right now under Harris and Walz. Not long after Shanahan's comments were made public, Trump told CNN's Kristen Holmes in Michigan he would certainly be open to giving Kennedy a role in the future under Trump's administration. And he quotes, I like him and I respect him. He's a brilliant guy. He's a very smart guy. I've known him for a very long time. I didn't know he was thinking about getting out, but if he is thinking about getting out, certainly I'd be open to it. Shanahan's comments followed recent polls indicating that Kennedy, who has traded in anti-vaccination conspiracy theories that tend to have greater currency on the right than on the left, right? We listen to that. We're more open. Yeah, we're more receptive to those theories than on the Democratic side, obviously, and to Democratic voters, was drawing more support from Trump than from Harris. Kennedy's potential to act as a spoiler has long been a source of political guesswork. Commentators have expressed uncertainty whether the Democrats or Republicans stand to lose more from his candidacy. Kennedy is currently running about 5% in many surveys. The revelation that he is considering standing aside comes after he met Trump at last month's Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. At that time, Trump reportedly sought his endorsement, and the two discussed possibility of Kennedy being given a job in the future Trump administration. Kennedy was apparently rebuffed when he recently sought a similar meeting with Harris. And I quote, no one has any intention of negotiating with a mega-funded fringe candidate who has sought out a job with Donald Trump in exchange for an endorsement. Now, this comment was made by a DNC source who told that to the National Post. So both Trump and Kennedy have received generous funding from Timothy Mellon. He's an heir to one of America's most famous banking families. Mellon, a known Trump financial backer, has given $25 million to American Values in 2024, which is a super PAC supporting Kennedy's presidential campaign. Most recently in April, who he donated $5 million to. Kennedy, who is a scion of America's most famous political dynasty and son of the former U.S. Attorney General, was denounced by his own siblings when he announced his presidential campaign as an independent last autumn. RFK's family are not approving of his shift from Democrat to independent. And this is what they said. This decision of our brother Bobby to run as a third-party candidate against Joe Biden, the presumptive Democratic nominee, is dangerous to our country. Now, this was said by sisters Rory Kennedy and Carrie Kennedy and Kathleen Kennedy Townsend. And brother Joseph P. Kennedy II, in a statement last October, he said this, Bobby might share the same name as our father, but he does not share the same values, vision, or judgment. We denounce his candidacy and believe it to be perilous to our country. Ouch. No love lost there on the family. Now, there are times when you have to do what you got to do. Do what you're called to do. Take savage stances in life, okay? Even when that's not in favor of your family. Take it from me. I know personally. I'm just coming back from a family reunion in Detroit. I'm telling you, those people are nuts, okay? But you got to stand against them. Now, if Kennedy was shopping his alignment and endorsement around to the Dems as well, let me be the first to say that I do take real issue. I take homage with that. Yeah, I do take real issue with that. It makes me quite uneasy, to say the least. Trump will have to decide on his own how he wants to handle that, if it is in fact true, and whether or not, if it is true, if it's a good idea to allow him in his administration. I mean, I'm still waiting for my call and or invitation to join the Trump administration. I know they're going to call. We're down to 76 days. I'm sure the Trump administration is going to give me a call and say, Cicely, do something there in Minnesota, or come on, join us in D.C. But until then, I'm going to stick with the show. Now, I personally, I'm vowing for what the role Omarosa had. Okay, I want that job. I would do a stellar job in aligning the party to ready for the next Republican president. But I digress. I just want to win. Winning is top of mind for me. That's all I care about right now. I just simply want to secure a win. We got to get back to winning again. And if RFK can add some more percentage votes to the ballot box, hey, I say, welcome to the contest. Now, I don't want to give the impression that we only view politics here. After all, this is a show that's about culture in America. Okay? It's not that we only view politics here on The Savage Truth. Don't know if you've heard, Jennifer Lopez cancels her summer tour as rumors swirled of troubled marriage issues. Yes, she said she's scrapping her summer tour. Now, the tour has been plagued with low sales and canceled dates already, but now the whole thing has been canceled. It's been called off, but in announcing the news, Flag Nation is not making any mention of that. Instead, they said this, and I quote, Lopez is taking time off to spend time with her family, her children, and close friends. And she added this. This is per J-Lo, and I quote, I am completely heartsick and devastated about letting you down. Please know that I wouldn't do this if I felt it wasn't absolutely necessary. I promise I will make it up to you and we will be all together again. I love you so much. Until next time. Girl. Jen, here's my message to you from Cicely on The Savage Truth. Take care of your personal life, okay? Get that together. But we need to be savagely truthful in this moment, okay? Hear me out, Jenny from the block who got ousted for lying about the block that she's from. And believe me, folks, I'm from New York, okay? I'm not even from New York City. I'm from upstate New York, but I know this, that if you lie about the sect you're from and someone finds you out and they call you out, believe me, it is considered unforgivable. But beyond that, from whatever block she came from or didn't come from, okay, we know this, J-Lo cannot keep a man and she cannot keep concert seats full. Stick to the movies, sweetie, okay? Let the singing go. And I think that divorce is absolutely sacred. Okay, don't get me wrong. It's not something that I'm joking about. I think divorce is a covenant and it is absolutely sacred. Okay, that being said, me attending anything Jennifer Lopez, never. I truly think marriage is sacred and I hate to hear about divorce, but let me end with a savage truth here. Go to a Jennifer Lopez concert. I would rather save my money for an evening at for home entertainment, like watching paint dry with better acoustics.
Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.